Good morning, and thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I was talking so much this morning, I got a late start. So we are here, we are live, and we have some people here I think you are going to enjoy speaking with. I know I have. Today's guests are Rob Basso. He is the founder, president, CEO of Associated HCM. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm looking forward to the conversation today. I have no idea where this is going to go, but we're going to find out.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm kind of nervous because I almost called you by a different name this morning. So I'm like, Rob. Say, I got, too many letters from you.
Nothing. It's all good. It's all good.
Nothing. Our next guest has inspired me to fly from Long Beach, California, all the way to Philadelphia, just so I can check out her closet. When you see the shoes behind this lady, and I'm pretty sure this is just a part of them, you're going to want to catch on a plane after this quarantine, of course, and join me. Our next guest is Bridget Battles. She is the CEO of Bridget Battles Enterprises. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm excited. I'm excellent. I'm having a great time today, and I'm glad you're able to join me.
I'm super excited about participating today, and I'm ready to just have lots of fun.
We are definitely going to have fun, but we're also going to learn a lot. So our next guest is Meryl Patricia. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, Patricia, if you're Italian. Patricia.
Okay, see, I have to work on that. I was practicing Rob for so long, I just completely forgot to practice your name.
Yes, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. And our next guest is Taryn. And again, see, Taryn Stachkill?
That was so good. I honor you for making that
effort.
Yes. Totally.
Okay. Say it for me, Taryn.
You can say it stay skull, like you're telling a dog to stay and the skull around your brain, or you can just refer to me as Dr. Taryn.
No, I want to say your name, tasteful.
You got it.
See, when I say it faster, it works better.
It does. And if you put like an accent on one of the syllables, it sounds very, very Gigi.
I like sounding Gigi. That's my goal. I love your art behind you. It's beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'd love to. Here, let me get out of the way of the art. There we go. I'm out of the way. So this is a painting that I received in Zambia as a gift. And so I've done a lot of work in Africa on women and girls empowerment, on land conservation and anti-poaching. And so I was presented with this painting as a thank you for some of my work there back when we used to travel, when we weren't sheltering in place. It seems like a long time ago. And I was in love with this painting. It's so vibrant, and it's all women coming together with their bundles on their heads and with their daily wares to sell. And it really speaks to me because there's this theory called shine theory, which you may be familiar with. And the idea
I'm
is-
I'm not.
I'll tell you about it. And Thank the idea you. Is that like, as women, we needlessly compete with each other, right? It's Rob, you might do this too, I don't know. But you have to tell us how it is from a guy's perspective, right? But so many women, we walk into the room, right? And we sort of look around and we say like, okay, like, we do the comparison. And then if someone maybe has more of something than we have, then we come from a place of lack and like maybe we don't like them and we try to like put them down. And so the shine theory is the exact opposite of that, which is really what we have today on this show, right? When you like take bright stars and you bring them together, so bringing all of us together on the screen, and when you bring bright stars together, what happens? They don't get dimmer. They shine brighter together in constellation. And so that's the shine theory, that as women, we have the opportunity to work in a more cooperative way. And if you see a brilliant woman who is in her element, as you are, Sharifa, as you are, Meryl, with your expertise on on joy and reclaiming joy after loss. And Bridget, my God, with the like most gorgeous closet I've seen since Sex in the City. Right? Like we've got a choice to compete or cooperate. And Shine Theory and the women here remind us that we shine brighter together.
Well, actually, I do have a comment on that. It's very interesting. I think for many years, women weren't necessarily, I work with mostly women. I'm in the human resources and payroll service space. Probably over the years, probably 70% of the organizations I've owned have been run by women other than myself. And what I've noticed over the years is sometimes they compete viciously with each other, even worse than men do, because they're jockeying for these position. And then on top of it, they have to fight the men in their organization who think they are naturally owed that position because they're men. So it's very interesting. I actually love the whole concept of Shine and even just the way that you put it together.
Yeah.
But on a short note, I do think that men need to do more of that. I know personally, I associate myself with other people that are not necessarily like-minded, but motivated. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of time talking and working collaboratively, even in disparate businesses, to figure out the best way to do things. And there isn't really a competition with those conversations. It makes everybody do better. But I think on a day-to-day basis, men can be just as tough as women they are with each other. They'll step on somebody's shoulder to get where they need to go. And I'm not saying that's the right thing, but your story was beautiful and the painting was fantastic too. I don't have anything quite that meaningful in my house. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
Be careful of the shoulds, Rob. The late Albert Ellis would say, he's a clinical psychologist. Meryl's nodding her head. She knows what I'm going to say. The late Albert Ellis, when his clients would come to him and they would use the word should in therapy, he would look at them and he would say, you're shoulding all over yourself.
I have to find my own meaning.
That was good. That was very good.
I like that. But I wanted to comment on what Taryn was saying, and we got all this from the painting. So I know this is going to be an excellent show that I invite all of our audience to share, because look, we're like 2 minutes in and we haven't even gotten started. But one of the things that I saw is the difference between Taryn and Rob. Both had excellent points, but when you look at men over time, they've always had these executive CEO leadership positions. So there's a certain belief that a white male, for the most part, is going to get that position. So when a woman of any nationality walks into a room, she's like, okay, I have to stand out. I have to do something a little bit different. And then you have two women, they're like, okay, we have to stand out. So let me compete against her in order to get this seat, as opposed to another man taking that position.
I've seen it happen in my own organization. You're 100% correct. And I've seen it play out over the last 20 years of my career.
I mean, it's a holdover from a very old, vestige of the patriarchy, if you will, which is the idea that there's only one seat for women, right? Like it's a scarcity mindset. It's a belief that there's not going to be enough to go around relative to women. And we still buy into this idea that there can only be one. And so to your point, Rob, we compete with men, we compete with each other, and have in many ways been our own worst enemy in terms of being able to elevate. You know, Madeleine Albright said, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women. And if we're able to subscribe to the idea that, you know, when you look at the women here, you know, your beautiful faces, the incredible work that you're doing, and I see, you know, I see my collaborators, I see my partners in crime, my co-conspirators, but so often it's easy to come from a mindset of scarcity and competition, as opposed to from a mindset of abundance and cooperation.
Well, I've seen both sides of it. So I agree with you, Taryn, and also Rob. But I also subscribe to the fact that even though both are evident and, you know, in the corporate work area, that's why executive presence is so important. That's why your level of confidence in who you are, because a lot of us have skill sets and we have the tools and strategies. But if you don't have that confidence, no matter who it is and what setting you are in, you will automatically start to compete and compare with other people.
Yeah.
Bridget, I love what I love about what you're doing and what I love about what Meryl's doing is, and I'd love for you guys to speak to this. You know, Bridget, you have a job where your whole ethos is about allowing women to be at their best.
Right? Absolutely.
And Meryl, your whole focus is allowing people to be psychologically and emotionally at their best, right? So the two of you are committed to, you know, in large part, you know, humanity and really a big focus on women being at their best. So I'm so fascinated to know how you got there, how you got to a place where you have this evolved mindset and you're so focused on elevating others.
Yes, Meryl.
I think go ahead, Meryl.
Sure. Thank you. Well, I was going to say, I'm happy to share with you how I got here. But what I really want to bring home is we have a pandemic now where no one's seen it before. We already know that. And mindset is so critical in terms of how we approach it, because we can't control a lot of things, but we can control our mindset. So the mindset of abundance versus scarcity, the mindset of collaboration versus I got to do it on my own and figure it out by myself. The fact is, we can't figure out any of this stuff on our own. And what an amazing opportunity to really step into that, especially if we haven't had that way of being before, like stepping into it, learning it, building our resiliency to come together to create and write our new futures and our, you know, dealing with this new normal. Like we get to write our new normal. And I mean, R-I-G-H-T as well as W-R-I-T-E, which is, I'll speak to how I got here. Thank you. So I went through nine huge life-altering, turbulent transitions. I lost several people in my life. They passed away to illness, including my late husband, who happened to have been an infectious disease physician.
We would have needed him now.
Sorry?
So we would have needed him now. Sorry to hear that.
Dr. Fauci was his mentor. I'm just God, where is he now when I needed him? But he died. He succumbed to cancer. So the cancer was smarter than the medicine. So on top of my folks and that, and I mean, you name it, all the things that had defined me were gone. The house was gone. The business was gone. My daughter was gone. The dogs went with the stepson. I mean, it was like my life was a country freaking song. And then there I was with everything that had defined me was no longer there. Total, like total unknown. And so I thought, all right, well now how do I work through this? Like talk about the existential question of what is my life going to be like. I totally get to craft my life, whatever I choose. And I feel like as a world, we're in that exact place. What do we want? What do we want to craft? And we need to do it together. We cannot do it separately. And so that's how I came to write the book, GPS to Joy. And the subtitle is Navigate Life's Turbulence and Toughest Transitions to Find Your New Direction. Because that's what I think whenever you're in a big transition, that's what you got to do. How do we navigate it? How do we find our path? And I say, what if we start with what brings us joy now?
Meryl, you know what's so crazy? So I'm jumping with excitement on the inside because my story is similar to your story. So everything you were saying, it was just like, oh my God, like pick me, like that's me. So, you know, what I love about what you say, one of the things I focus on. So I, same thing, had lost, I lost my father to cancer. And that was like one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. And during that time, I created this internal phrase, so to speak, where I would tell myself there was strength in the stretch. And what I would do is mentally, I knew I had to stretch my faith. I had to stretch my belief in myself. I had to stretch my belief and my dreams. I had to stretch who I was as a person. So each time that I would get frustrated or aggravated or hurt or angry, because you go through all of these emotions, I would tell myself there's strength in the stretch. And I would stretch myself so much to even it scared me sometimes. But I knew if I stretched myself, kept on going, there were people that needed to hear my message. There were people that needed to know my story. So it no longer became about Bridget, but it became about how can I serve based on what I have gone through. And so I then wrote my book. My book is called Beauty and Her Battle. So see, fashion is just the outside part of it. But I was fighting an inner battle. And so being able to give you that confidence, that executive presence, that joy that Meryl talks about, it's all because I first was a partaker. It's all because anything I'm telling you, I've lived through the experience.
Yeah.
So anytime now I get frustrated or something's going on, I choose to write my own narrative. And I know there is strength in the stretch.
I love it. Strength in the stretch. I can tell you right now, Bridget, it's hard for you to stay in your seat, right?
Like you all, you see, I'm getting excited. Like when Meryl was talking, I was just like, really, just like jump through the camera and just like hug Meryl, like, yes, 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 yes.
Virtual hugs, social distancing hugs for everyone.
Yes, I was just like, this is like my kind of conversation. You know, about building each other up. You know, I like to cooperate, to coordinate, to collaborating. You know, so oftentimes, like at my church, my pastor always says, "We don't compete; we complete. We don't compete with each other. We help complete each other. I want to make you better because that's."
I think I need to come to your church. it seems like a wise pastor. So
that shows that I'm an effective leader. If I can help grow you to become an effective leader. Mm-hmm. I'm getting so excited. Sharifa, you don't know what you've done today, girl.
This is what I do. But I want to go back to what you, one of you, I think Meryl was saying it earlier, is that that's why I created the roundtable talk show. I knew that we would be better together. That if we sat down and we had a conversation, it's like, okay, I know what I'm going through. I know my story. You know, I've written a book. My book is Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You. But my story, it all started when I built my first website in 1994 as a teenage mom. I only wanted to be where we are now, at home and work from home. But after being laid off 8 times, you know, and losing everything and just, you know, going through these struggles, I tell people where I am now is based on that journey. I went through all of that so I can sit here today with all of you and say, how can we learn together? What's a part of your story and your story and your story that's going to help the masses? And so that's what we're doing here today. And I love it. I think Rob is about to leave because all these emotions are.
No, listen, it's really good stuff. And like I said before, I mean, you know, you guys are making the assumption that I'm uncomfortable because I'm a man and there's
right.
Four women talking about that. Yeah. It's not really, it's actually the farthest from the truth because most of my career, as I said earlier, was with women. All the top people in my organization are women. So I think I have a good tune on how that all works. I said, if you look at my own situation, you know, I sold my company that I worked for that I built starting in 1994. I sold it to a public company in 2018. And then I had to figure out to myself, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And you'd figure, oh, okay, you make a bunch of money. Maybe you have to work. Maybe you don't. But I was depressed. Even though getting paid was like, yes. And then once you've done it, you're like, well, now what am I going to do? That was such a big part of my life for 20 years, every day, day in and day out, from the first client to this 8,000th client that we sold by the time I sold the company. It was incredibly difficult to emotionally get through that. And some folks who have never been through it before, it's like, oh, wow, you made a bunch of money. That's all that should really matter. Well, that was the first time in my life I realized it doesn't matter. And it didn't matter. That's not what made it difficult for me. What made it difficult for me was how my life was so intertwined with those people, those 60 people that I work with, many of them for 20 years, who now were just gone in an instant out of my life. It was really hard. And if I didn't have some of the strong women around me to support me and get started again, I don't know where I'd be. So, you know, I think I've had a different set of experiences that allow me to understand that there are too many differences that people perceive between men and women, and there is a bridge, there is a gap, but I think that it can be bridged if people really pay attention intensely to each other. And I still think, especially in a pandemic like this that we're having now, even though we're not together, I think what you're doing on this show, it can really help. And I know in our own organization, connecting with other people, and even if it's on this piece of equipment, for some reason, it's actually doing wonders. And I don't know why. And maybe it's because of lack of the physical presence. People are feeling a little better to say what they feel. I honestly don't know why it's working, but my organization is running just as well or better. And I'm looking at this big, huge office that I built, and I bought the building. And I'm like, why did I just spend all this money on this building? What did I do? Is it a mistake? Listen, this has been a very interesting and challenging time for everybody. And I'm learning a lot about myself. I have to tell you, I am stressed out though. I'm stressed out because there doesn't seem to be a definitive end in sight of the new. And I'm trying to be positive.
I'm going to cut you off, Rob. And I usually, well, most of the time I don't cut people off. Every now and then I do. But I'm going to use this as an opportunity because I have two questions that I wanted to ask before we went in another direction. And I know these ladies, one of you is about to jump in. So I'm jumping in there first. But number one, I'm going to make an assumption about you being a man, Rob. You mentioned the word depressed. You said I was depressed. And even when men tend to become depressed, not many of them have the courage or the ability to verbalize it. That's the first question. Were you able to verbalize to yourself or to other people that you were depressed?
Well, it took a little while. It took a couple of months to realize why I was cranky and frustrated and annoyed. But I'm pretty self-aware of my good traits and my bad traits. So my bad traits came out and I noticed it. I was just on edge and uncomfortable and snappy. And, you know, I can be that way on an occasion, but it was all the time. So I eventually caught it within a couple of months and I ended up working through it pretty darn well. And feeling like I came out of it in a much better place than when I started. So yeah, and I told some of my good friends and some of my top associates that I work with how I was feeling and what was going on. And it made them, I think it endeared them to me, but I didn't do it for that reason. I did it so they understood why I might have been acting a particular way. And I think they were very appreciative. One of the things at my organization, we use a culture or a program called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And it's all about being open and honest, brutally, whether you want to say something or not. In our closed room meetings with our management team, some stuff gets said. And this was some of the stuff that came out. And I think they appreciated my open and honesty because it all starts with the leadership of the organization. So.
Can I ask Rob a question about that?
Sure.
Absolutely. I'm finished. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, I've got a question for you, Rob, and then we can also extrapolate on this question more broadly if all of you are interested. For you, Rob, you know, what I think is fascinating is what we're talking about is the concept of vulnerability. And we know that vulnerability brings us closer to one another. It's the cornerstone of authenticity. And yet we're all not running around living fabulously vulnerable lives because vulnerability is frightening, right? It pushes us out of our comfort zone. So I'm curious to know, you know, for you, Rob, and for our other guests here, like what advice do you have for people to help them embrace their vulnerability? Because we know that's super hard, so that's one. And the second part of that, after we talk about vulnerability, we could also engage in a dialogue. You know, I think it's fascinating that all of us here have experienced some tangible loss or some series of just tremendous loss and trauma, myself included. I have a PTSD in my background and was nearly killed by my first husband. And
sorry to hear that.
What did you say? We find strength in the stretch, right?
Yes, that was Bridget.
Yes.
Well, so I can answer your first question with an anecdote, and this is basically what happened with me, and you guys will tell me if this answers your question.
How'd you do it, Rob?
When I first started public speaking, and this was a long time ago, I spent a lot of time worrying about what people thought about me, and I thought they wanted me to be a certain way. So I talked at the crowd. I talked at the audience. And it took me a couple of years to realize I wasn't getting the reaction that I thought I should. Like, I was prepared. I wasn't treating them with the respect that they deserved, because I wasn't giving them me. I was giving them some vision of what I thought they wanted from me. And once I started being, and Taryn used the word authentic, I just started being me, and it completely changed within one talk. And I remember the talk specifically. And since then, that's all I've ever been, is, and you take it or leave it. I'm going to be me, whether you're going to like it or not. And I think that's what's given me the ability to have that self-actualization and understand when I was having a challenging time to let people know that. That vulnerability is what people want. They don't, in my mind, you know, if you stand up there and pretend, people can see it. People mm-hmm. can see it, feel it, and smell it. So that particular talk that I did, that was the whole direction turn, really, in the rest of my career. I wrote a book. I was in 20 different states. I've been on every major television network between Fox, CNBC, you name it. For 5 years straight, I was a midday guest for an hour on one of the major news networks to interview other professionals. I got that because of my authenticity and my vulnerability to just be me. And
I love it.
Some people might not like me, but oh well, you know.
You're my new best friend, Rob. I like you. I think you're a wonderful you guy. But what you were saying, it was so much of what you said that resonated. I'm gonna let Bridget talk and Meryl talk, but I just had to get this out, as you can see. Like, this show is still all about me. But no, it was something that you said, because before I did the show, and part of the reason why I did the roundtable was previously I ran for Long Beach City Council. And so I said they wouldn't give me city council. So I took the roundtable and I had to have a voice. But when I announced that I was running for Long Beach City Council, my friends and my family, they were like, Sharifa, what are you doing? They was like, you don't even like people. You don't even like to talk to people. And I'm like, yes, I do. I'm like, I love to talk to people. I don't like to talk with people. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big difference. And so when you were making the distinction between I'm like, I get it. But there's freedom in that. Like, even in this pandemic, I can't even get my hair done. And before the show, because I'm like Bridget, like, we have to be, everybody's beautiful, but you know what I mean? Everything has to be perfect. So people are like, are you going to cancel the show? And I'm like, the show must go on. Ponytail, whatever it is, the show, and it's freedom in that. What do you think, Bridget?
So I just want to say, Rob, first of all, I admire you so much for being able to share with us all of that information. It was amazing. I just wanted to ask you a question, though. Do you feel like that once you begin to share your authentic self, that your purpose was redefined? Because I felt like that's what was happening. And also just what I do when I get nervous and I'm in front of a group of people, I just pretend everybody want my autograph and they scared to ask. So I just have to be.
I'm gonna steal that. I'm not doing that.
Just pretend everybody wants your autograph.
I'll tell you, the answer is, Bridget, the answer is yes. And the title of the book that I wrote is called The Everyday Entrepreneur. And it's all about inspiring the entrepreneurial spirit. So the whole spirit of giving the knowledge that you have to lift somebody else up changed the way that I perceive the world, where at the beginning it was, look at me, look how good I am, and you should want to know me because I'm so great. And then it turned into, oh, well, I'm not sure why I'm doing that or why I'm even thinking that way. I can impact more people and do what I want to do by actually, you know, giving this information to help them succeed in their own lives. And it wasn't a purposeful thing at the time, but and it wasn't like a light bulb that went off. It was just like, oh, well, this is what it is. And that's what it's been. You know, this is since 2011, since I really had the epiphany, basically.
I can appreciate that. I can so appreciate that, because, you know, I had an experience. It wasn't like that, but I had an experience where, my business is doing well. I have the house. You have the car. You're able to buy what you want. but that still does not fulfill your purpose. It does not fulfill why you are here on this earth. It does not fulfill you helping the community become better. And so really, once you really redefine your purpose, it gives you a whole different sense of, you know, self-worth, a self-empowerment, and it just makes your outlook on things so much different. So I appreciate that statement.
Beautiful, Bridget.
I wanted to speak to vulnerability. I love this conversation. Like, I'm so moved by it, Rob, and all of you. And here's what I know about vulnerability. And I grapple with it. You know, I mean, I'm definitely getting, when I get into my heart and my body, I can be it. I can live inside of it. And then when I get in my head, then I, you know, I'm not present. But vulnerability and being vulnerable takes us beyond and takes us into what matters most.
Mm-hmm. When
thank you. Yeah, so when we can feel it, and we know when we're being vulnerable and we're not, we can feel it, then that is what right there in our side of us is what matters most. And when we can connect to that, then the purpose comes from that, you know, or what we're here for or what we could do. And I just love that it is the portal to, or the access to how to even craft what our life is for, or how to move forward, especially in the face of the unknown, right? Yeah. If you can start with that, that will take us there. It's like following the breadcrumbs, and it's vulnerability is a key to that. Thank you.
Yeah. And one of the ways that I'm gonna let you speak, Taryn, but I just want to go back to Meryl real quick, that people show or have the vulnerability. We talk about the business aspect, but it's also in the personal aspect. One of the things that we were speaking about briefly prior to the show is online dating. And a lot of people have this, you know, I want to go out, I want to meet people, but I don't want to be vulnerable and risk stepping out there. And that's one of the things that you talk about.
Yeah.
You know the differences actually between the different sites. I thought that was so intriguing because I don't. I just do plenty of fish. Like, honestly, this is my most authentic time when I'm talking to people because I really want to help people. I don't know the differences. I go to Plenty of Fish, it's free. I meet some friends, I go out, or, you know, now we can't go out, but you know the differences.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really pride myself on being a solution specialist. So I took on online dating as another thing to sort out, and in connecting with who I am and what it is that I want to give to somebody, what I want to receive, it helped me to craft how I present myself on the websites, which is a big mistake people do. They don't really take it as an opportunity to showcase their hearts, who they are, what's important to them, what they want to give, and what matters. So that is, to me, online dating is successful. The more you know who you are and what you want, and the more you communicate that from your truth, and knowing that a lot of people aren't going to jive with it, but it's okay, you're only looking for one, then it becomes more like a discovery, like an adventure, like a sleuth. We're like looking for that match by being that. And that requires being vulnerable and in our body. It also requires us being aware, self-aware, in terms of, well, what do I want? Do I just want love, or do I want a life partner, or do I want somebody that I can create be a philanthropist with and make a difference with for young ladies? Like, who am I, and what is it I want, and what is it I want to provide? So that's why I looked into the online dating site. So when I talk to people about where they're going or what they want, I can say, well, let me tell you my experience with these different sites, and support them to really put their best foot forward so they don't spend a lot of time and suffer. Because really, there can be a lot of suffering on online dating. The less clear you are, and the more you sleep, more asleep you are about those questions.
Yeah, that was good. But you gave us the breakdowns. I'm not going to let you just get away, because I want our people to know, like, you really mentioned your humble opinion. You said Match.com, eHarm, like, you have a purpose for each of them.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be very brief because I want to hear more from Taryn, because you're all extraordinary. Okay, so the League is more like the elite website, very difficult to navigate, and I really still don't understand it, and I'm very smart. So if I'm smart and that's ununderstandable, then there's a reason that they make it that way. Okay, so the League, it's still worth it though. It's still worth trying. eHarmony, you get one person at a time. And they kept giving me people that were just not a match in terms of lifestyle or physically. I don't understand that, why that happened. So I stopped with eHarmony. Bumble is the most entertaining. It's the least amount of information, and you really have to go with your gut and looking at the picture. So you got to, so your way to market it there is through your pictures. And that's actually a lot of fun and the easiest. Match, I feel like the men who really, really do want their special someone, not sure the women, I've checked, you know, but certainly the men, they are the most authentic. They are the most clear. They are the, I'm a writer. So my profile is really, really well written and beautiful. I get beautiful interactions back with men. I mean, I'm telling you, they may not be my life partner, but we have heart connections and business connections. And I treat all of my apps as communities. So I treat them as my other communities. And when I do it that way, then there's no conversation that's a disappointment. And so does that answer your question?
Yes, now I'm happy. Now I'll allow Taryn to speak.
My God, that was so good. That was so, I was just taking copious notes. I don't know if you could, but I love everything that you said, Meryl. I mean, you talked about really knowing what you want to give and what you want to receive. I feel like so many people come to dating either thinking about what they're going to get or thinking about what they need to give to somebody. And I just love that balanced perspective that you have around the inflow and the outflow. I love how you talked about understanding your purpose and talking about what you want to create together with someone in the context of a relationship. I mean, it's just like, oof, that was, oh, and the part about making it like an adventure, that's so good, because so many people are like, oh, I hate dating, it's the worst. I've got
such a grump face, you know?
I was married before the internet, the internet was already there, but long before dating sites, I don't even think I've ever seen one. So I understand what you're talking about, but maybe a couple of the young people have had like Tinder or something like that with the swiping, which I'm not sure right or left is a good or bad, but like, it's very interesting to listen to because it is such a foreign way for me to have met somebody. It's just so interesting. I think it's great insight because I have four people in my office and in my small business now that all met on Match and are married. Wow. So clearly people are doing it. Clearly it works somehow or another.
By the way, I'm currently single and available for the love of my life. And I think, Tarifa, is that your situation also?
Oh, yes. That's I was about to point that out. I was like, look, if you're watching this show. But see, I have a rule, right? So I just started really promoting both of the talk shows because I do Ask Sharifa Videocast and the Roundtable Talk Show. And all of a sudden, I got all these friend requests from all of the guys, right? I don't know why, but that's what happened. So what I do is no matter what, unless they just look too crazy, I accept it, right? And then I sit back and I wait. And I just wait. And then all of a sudden, Messenger goes off. And depending on what they say and the introduction they make, that'll determine if they can stay a friend in my world. You know, this guy this morning, I accepted it, inbox. He said, kisses. Automatic unfriend. I don't even want to have this conversation. Like, I do a lot. You know, I run my life, do two talk shows. I have my book, speaking engagements. Like, have a conversation. Say hello. Yes. Say, how you doing? But don't, first of all, anything that's on my profile, that's automatic unfriend. Like, if you inbox and ask, which city do you live in? Unfriend. I'm serious. Like, this is my world. But I like to be that. And I am single.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you ladies a question. As an entrepreneur, how do you feel like dating is different as an entrepreneur? Do you share about your business on dates? Like, how do you do that?
Can I say something adjacent to that, Bridget? And I want to keep the spirit of your question alive. The spirit of your question is dating different as an entrepreneur, right? Uh-huh.
No, I want to hear from your perspective. Like, I know my perspective. I want to hear y'all's.
So here's something that I talk about with my friends, and I, you know, we're single currently. My heart is not available, just FYI.
They missed out. I know. But he's a lucky guy.
He is. But you know, something my friends and I talk about as single women is like every time we up level, mm-hmm. our dating pool gets smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think this idea, to your point, Bridget, is like as an entrepreneur, you know, you achieving some level of success, right? Mm-hmm. However you define that. And then I love how you took that a step further from an abundance mindset, Bridget, and you talked about, okay, and Rob, you spoke to this too, right? Like once you have the money, you realize it's not about the money, right? That wealth is not money. It's about giving back to your community, and it's about up-leveling others, and you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, and those kinds of things. And so I think, you know, dating as a successful woman, and likely as a successful man, can be difficult. But I think in particular for me as a woman, if I just speak from my perspective, mm-hmm. every time I get better, my dating pool gets smaller. And if I could just add on to that, Sharif, I loved your instructive comments. Like men, I hope you are taking notes out there, you know, about, you know, what to do and what not to do. Like if I'm going to have a drink with you and I sit down at the bar and the first words out of your mouth are like, I'm so intimidated by you, or like, yes. it's like, I gotta go, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want someone that I don't frighten. I want an equal partner.
Right.
Well, right. I want to add something to what Taryn said at the beginning. And you said that, you know, when you up level that all of a sudden the pool gets smaller, but as entrepreneurs outside of the dating world, that's what I seek to do all the time. You, because you don't have endless hours in the day. And it's not that I'm not a social person. It's not that I don't care to talk with random strangers, but I generally have an idea of who I want to associate myself with, because those are the people that, number one, I want to spend my time with. Those are the ones that I can impact the most. And those are the ones that I enjoy being around more. So I think that also works just in general. So not just with the dating pool, but as an entrepreneur, I think all of us are seeking to find folks that are just a notch ahead of us, because otherwise, where are you going? What are you going to learn from people that are 30 steps behind? And I'm not saying that's always the case. There's plenty of people that haven't done what we've done in our careers, have a lot to add. But again, you only have so many hours in a day. So where are you going to spend your time? Mm-hmm. I personally try to spend my time associating with people that I think that I can impact, and that can impact me in the biggest way. And that leaves a lot of people not necessarily having a relationship with me. And mm-hmm. I'm fine with that too.
Mm-hmm. Bridget, Rob copied and pasted my answer, because that was my answer. That was the
Sorry, Sharifa.
He looked at my paper and took my answer. So now I can't answer it the same way that I was, Bridget. But I'm going to say, really honestly, it's almost verbatim what Rob said. It's mm-hmm. whether it's business or personal. I always tell people, because people say I don't do a lot of small talk. And I tell people, I really honestly don't do a lot of small talk. It's not that I'm unapproachable or that I intimidate people, kind of what Taryn was saying. But honestly, it comes down to there are only 24 hours in a day.
Correct.
I usually don't have enough time to talk to the people I want to talk to, as opposed to other random strangers, as Rob mentioned. But specifically to answer your question, Bridget, with me, as a rule, I don't tend to date entrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
As a business consultant, I really tend to like people, guys with a 9-to-5, have a career, have a job. Because if you are an entrepreneur who's dating a business consultant at 1 a.m., what you want to talk about is your marketing strategy. And I'm like, I don't want to plan out your business. Like, I just want to go to sleep at this point.
Well, then you would get along very well with my wife, because after 22 years, she's like, enough already. So
I'd like you've highlighted something underneath this, and it really comes down to values. So I value growth and development. So my partner would be somebody that values that and actually can help me grow and develop, and I can inspire that in him. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was going to say was, I love how you have standards. I mean, I have standards. If someone says hi, smiley face, X left, swipe left. I mean, I'm a kind, loving, deep, intellectual woman, and it's obvious. So if you don't engage with me that way, then you don't really, you might not see that, and that's okay. I'm looking for the person who sees me very quickly. And the last thing I wanted to say was currencies. There's so many currencies. I think Taryn spoke to this. There's financial currency, but there's currency of emotional intelligence, of community. There's so many of being able to have conversations, of faith. There's so many currencies that are available. Like, how many currencies mm-hmm. can we trade in? And if right. we can only trade in two, and I got like 12 at my disposal, that won't be a fit. So I do look currency in terms of energy and frequency, and currency in terms of, you know, like literally, you know, not so much monetary, but you get the picture, right? Like mm-hmm. there's the esoteric, and then there's the actual. Can you keep up with me? Can I keep up with you? Do we mm-hmm. laugh? Right. Humor, sense of humor, mindset, those are currencies. So thank you.
You are welcome, Sharifa. I agree with you. For example, I agree with you on a couple of things, and I'm with you also, Meryl. So time is my highest form of currency right now, mm-hmm. because yes. once I give you my time, I'll never get that time back. Mm-hmm. So I'm not investing my time on anybody that's not going to yield a return. And when mm-hmm. I say yield a return, I don't mean necessarily it has to blossom into a relationship, but there's at least got to be a stimulating conversation. Intellectually, you have to challenge me. It's got to be something in it, because my time right now is very, very important. And Taryn, you're right. The more you become successful, the dating pool becomes smaller. I can't believe I'm saying this. But Rob, I'm going to go with you on this, Rob, because you said being your authentic self. So, because I never talk about my personal life or anything on social media.
Well, I'm glad I can help you along a little bit.
But my dating life is pretty good, you know. I'm not struggling in that area. Yeah, so I always want to hear other people's perspective, you know, mm-hmm. on how they, you know, manage the two when it comes to an entrepreneur and a dating life. I stick to my values. I stick to my principles. And I also know, most importantly, that if I can run over you, it's a no, mm-hmm. automatically.
Yeah.
That won't work for me.
Yeah. I love it.
So, Bridget, you're saying you need a really strong man, is what you're saying.
Yes, because if you can't call me to order, that's a problem.
Yes, I'm the same way.
If you can't call me to order, you can't protect me. So, no.
Amen. Amen.
I see you, Bridget. I see you.
This has been I love this conversation. It's been wonderful. And Meryl, you're the joy expert, correct?
I am. I am the joy expert.
I love that because, you know, when you sat here and spoke, you said, I'm smart, I'm intelligent. Like you listed all of your qualities, things that people with lesser self-esteem or less confidence, it's like we always don't want to give ourselves credit. And I'll say sometimes, I'm like, I'm just kind of, you know, whatever person I'm saying I am at that moment. And I'll say, I say that with all the humbleness in the world, you know, but you just like, this is who I am, I'm smart. I love it. I may have to become a joy expert or take a class or read your book.
Thank you. I would love it if you did. You know, there's something really beautiful about celebrating who we are with all of our foibles and all of our, you know, with all of it. Like, we're all so beautiful with all of it. And I mean, to celebrate that within ourselves and with others, it's just such a delight. I mean, you know, and that's, talk about getting back to what's important, you know, mm-hmm. what matters. And it's all of us coming together, and we're going to sort everything out, and we're going to elevate one another and level one another. And by acknowledging and loving on ourselves, confidence is so sexy and so effective, and literally allows us to bring leadership in the world. And I think humility serves a purpose, but I think right now humility is not going to serve us as much as knowing who we are and cultivating what it is that we know we want to bring to write our new future.
And Meryl, there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And I think, you know, unfortunately, too many people cross that line, and it tends to be an ugly look. And I know I definitely was when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I definitely was arrogant. I don't think I am anymore, because I'm much more comfortable with who I am. mm-hmm. not pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, well, I think the confidence comes from a knowing, from a heart. If it's a heart-centered confidence and sharing, mm-hmm. it's experienced much differently than I'm so great, look at me. So this confidence is not false confidence. It's genuine, knowing, and based on I'm enough, period. Mm-hmm. I'm enough.
I love it. I think you might have watched yesterday's show. That was the comment I made yesterday. We were discussing being selfish as opposed to confidence. And I always tell people, confidence is the sexiest thing in the world. Like when you just walk into a room and you just confident, it's just you just attract it. People just come to that person. Now, I can tell you, all of my guests today, I can honestly sit here and talk to you for hours. But we are coming down to the last 5 minutes.
No, no. Yes. Sheree, we need a part two. This is a whole party today, okay?
Okay, well, look, just for you guys, don't tell all the other guests, but if all four of you email me and all four of you agree to return at the same time and day, I'll do another show any day, anytime with just us. But now I'm going to tell you on this deal, if any one of you disagrees or doesn't want to return, it's off for everyone. I just love doing that.
Send us an email with everybody's email on it so we can coordinate calendars.
All or nothing. But at the end of every show, and I got about 4 minutes, I know everyone has to go, what I do is I allow my guests the opportunity to speak to everyone who's watching live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and just give them some final words that you want them to take away from your appearance on today's show. And I'm going to go ahead and start with the man, Mr. Rob.
Oh, I get special treatment today.
You do.
I think today was a very, it was not necessarily what I expected. And I had looked at your profile and so forth, and I didn't know exactly what I was getting into, and I was pleasantly surprised about the conversation.
You still showed up.
I still showed up. And so what I'd like everybody to take away is that despite, you know, people's differences, whether they're male, whether they're female, whether they're white or black or Asian, it is amazing how these five people just got on the phone, never met each other before, never spoke to each other before, but somehow found common ground in values and the way that they choose to run their lives and how they choose to connect themselves with the world. And I think if more people took the time, energy, and effort to work on themselves and work on their relationships with other people, their lives would be better at home, their lives would be better at work, their lives would be better in the community. And I think this type of program where people are gathered together from disparate backgrounds is something that's welcome and fresh in today's world. And I just appreciated the hour with you guys.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed having you as a guest, Rob. We're going to move over to Taryn.
Well, I love what you said, Rob, about connection. And what I'll add on to that is, you know, Meryl so eloquently spoke to, and I think Meryl, you've continued to ground our conversation, not only in kind of the broader ethos of human experience, but also speak to these very kind of specific times, right, with COVID-19. And, you know, I think what's been helpful for people that I've been speaking with is this idea of assuming positive intent and to give both ourselves and others some grace. Moment, because we might know part of what is happening for someone, but we rarely know the whole story. And so I think folks didn't wake up this morning trying to ruin my life, and I certainly didn't wake up trying to ruin anyone else's life. So I think if we can ask ourselves what else might be going on if we make a negative assumption and really make an effort to make positive intent at these times.
Love that.
Yes. Well said. Yes. I think that is definitely well said. We're going to move over to Meryl, who again keeps us grounded.
So I would leave it. I mean, what you've all said, I'm going to build off of that. First of all, let's trust the transition. But more importantly, let's trust ourselves inside of any transition, because we have what it takes. We could just need to connect. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important for us to discern what we listen to and who's around us. Who do you want to have around you right now? Discern who is going to support and elevate you and who is going to detract from you and pull your energy. Because right now it's about coming more into who we are and what's important and what we value. So finding the people that share those values, super critical, super important. And know your values, right? So know your values and even play with them and articulate them. You may not have even thought about it. I mean, you might have hundreds of values and that's so great to know what those are and lighten up on your standards. So the standard could be my kitchen's got to be clean. I'm not saying it's not, but lighten up on yourself and your standards, which are really can really divide us from ourselves and others and connect to your values and come like sort of joy is a huge value to me. So really, you know, connect to the values that most that matter most. And for me, joy and living a beautiful life and loving and elevating. Those are these things that I value most.
I love it. I love it. And we're going to allow Bridget to take us out.
First of all, Sharifa, thank you so much for sharing your platform with us today. Today has been an amazing experience. And I want to say to everybody who's actually watching the show today, it is our hope that you have taken some of these transferable skills that you can apply to your life once you leave this show today. Use this time of stay at home to really increase your vocabulary. Start working on mindset transformation. And also, because this has been such a great show, anybody who has been following the show today, and that if you can write on Sharice's comment one takeaway, and Sharice has to pick the winner, I'm giving you a free copy of my book today. That is my giveaway to your audience members. So, but they have to write on here one takeaway from the show today. So, but thanks so much, Sharifa. I really appreciate it. You know, you sharing, and to everybody here, it was great connecting with you.
I love it. And I love that you're giving something away. Please write in the comments your takeaway from the show. I'm going to write my takeaway too, just so I get my book.
I'm going to send you a book anyway.
I'm going to make
it. Okay, I'll put a takeaway in there. Okay.
In there. I want a book.
I'm in. I'm anything. I'll do it.
Too. Yes, Joy. Come on, Joy. I love it. Joy.
Okay, now I have two takeaways. I might have to come up with four takeaways. Everybody, I'm going to have four takeaways. I'm going to get terrible.
I didn't know we were hawking the book on the show. So, you know, if we're hawking the book on the show, then I had to show mine. So,
yes, I'm going to give away a book too, Rob. You're going to give away a book.
Let's give away books. Today's a book giveaway.
You get a book. Everybody gets a book, right? So now I have four takeaways that I have to think up over the next 5 minutes so I get free books. But look, these comments should be through the roof today. But if you don't have a takeaway, and I want the takeaway to be original, don't copy and paste what someone else said. I've had a pleasure. Thank you all for joining me today. I've had so much fun, but you know what? I've learned a lot. So thank you everyone who's watching the show live, everyone who's watching in the archives. Please support our guests, visit their websites. Their links are in the description above. Share the show. If you're interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow, everyone have a safe and a blessed day.
Bye everybody.
Bye.